Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Word of the Lord. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 25, one verse. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I want to talk to you for a few moments on the subject, the perpetual power of the blood. You may be seated. Preparing for this message as I normally do, I do some research, and it's just amazing when you start in research. Today, most commentaries, most information, you try to search and look at enlargement of verses. Most of that is written by particularly if they're modern, by very liberal commentators that comment on the scripture and make the commentary. And it's just amazing how they twist the word of God. And we're living in an era and a time where little by little but surely things are eliminated from God's word and God's program and God's church. The church has less and less meat, has less and less absolute. But the Bible is very replete with absoluteness. Things are absolute in the Word of God. And so when you study baptism, if you listen to the commentaries, baptism is no longer important. Certainly the baptism of the Holy Spirit is either not important or it's not for us. Worship is no longer anything that is important. Repentance is no longer important. All of these things are eliminated. And as I studied this week, it was just amazing how many commentators that said it is not necessary that the blood be shed. That was actually an overkill. Jesus did not need to shed his blood for men to be saved. But the Bible declares, and I believe the Bible, not a denomination or not a personality or not a trend. I believe in the absoluteness of the Word of God. The Bible said, and almost all things, the Apostle Paul, almost all things by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so it is the power of the blood. It's an old song. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. And ladies and gentlemen, there's still power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's an absolute that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no remission of sin without the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible is a book of absolutes. Except you believe that I am he. Jesus said this. Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. With that one verse, you have to believe that Christ is the Son of God, that he's the only way, or you have to believe that he is a fraud and a liar. And Oprah Winfrey gets accredited with saying there's many ways to heaven. Well, she's not the first one, and she just gets blamed for it. But that's been propagated for years and years and years, that there are many ways. But if you accept the Word of God, there is one way, and Jesus Christ is that way. And so as great as this old, nearly forgotten hymn is, it does not do justice to the precious blood of Jesus. Yes, precious, set apart, one of a kind. It's the precious blood of Jesus. Nobody else's blood could do that because all blood was contaminated except Christ came into this world with a heavenly Father and no earthly Father. And because of that, his blood was pure because the blood comes through the Father. And so we all had contaminated blood. But Jesus' blood is precious. The Bible declares that life is in the blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, he declares in Leviticus 17 and 11. And I have given it to you upon this altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It can't get much plainer than that. However, the first time the blood is mentioned in the Bible, it's not about life. It is about death. Friend, if you came into this world and you lived a great life and you were kind and you never did anything hurtful or hateful, you will still be lost. Because death is in the blood. It's in the bloodstream. The Bible said that the first time it was mentioned in Genesis 4 and 10, he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." It is the condemnation of Cain slaying his brother Abel. Abel's blood crying out in condemnation of his brother, demanding justice for his shed blood. Our blood is sinful and it requires condemnation. But there is no condemnation now through Christ. And only through Christ is condemnation lifted. How could this happen so early in the dawn of man's existence? Satan, knowing that life was in the blood, contaminated the human blood supply with the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That was his single objective, was to contaminate the blood supply of humanity. Life is in the blood, but so is the curse of death. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me," David said. But in that very same psalm, just two verses later, he said this, "Purge me with hyssop, that I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Hyssop, unlike any other herb in the Bible, hyssop had attractive flowers, and it was reserved for this, that it would be dipped in the blood, and it would be applied to the sacrifice. Hyssop was mentioned in the Bible for its a cleansing effect in connection with plague, leprosy, and chest ailments, and symbolic in cleansing the soul. That's what it says in the Bible. I would think in a time of pandemic that we would be pleading the blood. As I studied this, commentators said it was so wrong that we should plead the blood. We shouldn't do that. They said it was somehow unkind. It was I couldn't get their point, but they came out strongly that we should not plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, in opposition to them, I want to tell you that I constantly plead the blood. I plead the blood over myself. I plead the blood over this church. I plead the blood over my family. I plead the blood over my health. I plead my blood over my finance. I call on the blood of Jesus. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." The Old Testament was a bloody book, but no amount of blood shed there could save mankind, for that blood was not precious. It was simply the blood of animals. It was not precious. It was only emblematic. It was symbolic of what was to come. Only a temporary reprieve, a shadow of things to come. And there was things to come. Well, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, "For the law having a shadow of good things to come." We are living in that time when good things have come. That we have access, and the hyssop of God's grace applies the blood to us. And the Bible said, "Not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually made their comers thereunto perfect." They had to do it year by year. "For they could not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year." Their sin kept coming back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to report to you there is an experience in God where your sin does not return. It's called remission of sin. The greatest report that a cancer patient can get is what? "Your cancer is in remission." That means not only is it gone, but it is receding. Every day you're less likely that it is going to return. And so when we talk about the remission of sin, the threat of it returning is totally gone, because our sins are in remission, which means they're actually going the other way. And every day of your life that you live after your sins have been remitted, your sins are 24 hours farther from you than they were yesterday. And so if we can understand that His mercy is fresh every morning, His remission is replete in experience every morning, that our sins are farther removed from us. There are certainly are shadows of good things to come. And there was in the Bible, when there was a plague of death coming, God spoke to those that were faithful. And He said, if you will take the unblemished lamb and you will take that blood and apply it to the doorpost of your house, when the death angel comes, it will pass over you. You will be excluded from this plague. And so it was that Israel today still celebrates the Passover, that their firstborn was not going to die, that they were going to live. And so that was one of the good things to come. In the salvation of the harlot Rahab, the Bible specifically uses this woman because she was a harlot, which is symbolic of the degradation of mankind and the fall that we can make in our life. But the Bible tells us that she received the two spies representing God's Spirit and God's Word. And though she was a harlot, she had a tremendous testimony. She said, because we heard of your Lord, we heard how He dried up the waters of the sea. We heard how that God literally destroyed your enemies. We heard how we heard about the things of God. Our hearts did melt. And she said, because of that, even though I'm living here in Jericho and this city is going to be besieged and overtaken and going to fall, she said, I want to tell you that even though I'm a harlot, I believe in your God. And so the promise was, if you will convert to our Jehovah, that when Jericho falls, you will be spared. But this is the key. There has to be a distinction. And the distinction will that there will be a red cord, a scarlet cord hanging from your window, and you will be saved from the destruction that the rest of Jericho will experience. And that red cord symbolized the blood of Jesus Christ that was to come. And so the present pleading of the blood is to make our human mind cognizant of the perpetual power of the blood. That it's not just one thing far removed from us thousands of years ago, but we have an ever-present God, and we have an ever-interceding Savior, which is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And in my background as a Pentecostal, there was an ongoing argument, and that ongoing theological argument that divided churches and split seminaries was, where is the blood applied? Is it applied when you accept Christ? It is applied when you repent. Is it applied when you baptize? It is applied when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me explain to you that God told us that we should be baptized for the remission of sins. And so blood is certainly applied there. But Jesus talked about this. And He said, when you do this, give thanks. He was talking about communion. And He said, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance. And the same manner also He took the cup. And when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it is in remembrance of me. I want to tell you, not only is the blood applied at all of those steps of salvation, but the blood is applied regularly to your life as you remember it. Just as the mercy is applied every morning, so is the blood freshly applied to your life. And that's the reason why it's not only permissible, but it is advantageous and commendable that you would plead the blood of Jesus Christ every day. Plead it over your children before they walk out the door to go to school, because there is power in the blood, a perpetual, never-ending blood of Jesus Christ. There is no remission of sins but by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins are remitted, past, present, and future. Jesus Christ the same sacrifice, same yesterday, today, and forever. The past has no power over us. People love to say that the power, the past has no power over that. I would urge you to tell Governor Cuomo in New York that it was the power of his past that took him from the State House of New York a couple of weeks ago, where a year ago he was hailed as a hero. He was talked about as a presidential candidate, and today he lives in disgrace because his past came up to get him. And so you can say, my past has no power over me. You are deceiving yourself unless you are washed in the blood. The past has no power over, oh yes, it does, unless we are covered in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the only true remedy for a bad past. There is no other healing for a bad past. The Bible said some men's sins go before them, and other men's sins follow after them. If you are not covered by the blood of Jesus, your sins are tracking you every day of your life. And at the most inopportune time, at the most embarrassing situation, and surely before the judgment seat of Christ, your sins will revive and accuse you and condemn you. But friend, if you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins no longer follow you. They are as far from you as the east is from the west. And praise God, I rejoice not in my flesh. I rejoice in my blood-covered soul, because Jesus has taken the hyssop of his grace and he has washed me in his blood. And because of that, there is now for no condemnation. I am free, I am free, I am free indeed. Let me give you just six in closing very great advantages of being washed in the blood. The six things that perpetual power of the blood of Jesus Christ does. Number one, we've covered, it remits your sins. There is remission of sin in no other but the blood of Jesus. That's the reason why it is so apropos that we call on the name of Jesus in everything, because Jesus is the identification factor of whose blood we're talking about. Your blood won't do it. The blood of your parents won't do it. The blood of the sacrifice of animals won't do it. The blood of our soldiers that fall on the field to protect our liberty won't do it. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. The perpetual power of the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed his precious blood on the cross for me, and because of that, sins are no more attached to me. They have been severed in the surgery of salvation, and my sins are remitted. Number two, this is an amazing fact. Acts 17:26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. The reconciliation of the human family can only be accomplished in the blood of Jesus Christ. As long as the world rejects the blood of Jesus, racism will be strong and flourishing, because by one blood we are made, all nations of men are made one. We are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no escape from racism outside of God's church. There is no escape for racism outside of Jesus' blood. By one blood, the human family is recognized, and we realize that it does not matter, male or female, black, white, brown, yellow, Jew, Gentile, we are made one by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the reconciliation of the world is contingent upon the blood of Jesus. And there will be wars as long as they do not recognize the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ. As long as they do not realize that there is life in the blood. As long as they do not realize there is no remission except the shed blood of Jesus Christ, race will be against race. But praise God, once you understand that we are created in His image and recreated by His blood, then you will love one another, and it cannot be any other way. Number three, we are justified, which simply means saved from wrath by the blood of Jesus. Much more now, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Ladies and gentlemen, because of the blood of Jesus, I can sing, I am a friend of God. For the truth is, there is enmity between God and His creation. And the only bridge for that, across that wrath, is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Number four, we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, Ephesians says, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am no longer a sinner. I'm the righteous of God. I am now the apple of His eye. I am now the center of His creation. I have been redeemed by the blood, which makes me an heir of the Father, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That the curse is broken and the blessing is released, and every good thing is available to me by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, it's nothing but the blood. Nada but the blood. Goose egg but the blood. It is only the shed blood of Jesus Christ that I stand here before you redeemed. Without His blood, I am a wretched sinner. Without His blood, I am a condemned felon. But because of His blood, I can sing, I can shout, and I can rejoice. Praise God. Number five, made near by the blood of Jesus. It's not just an old hymn, draw me nearer, Lord. We all desire to be near. It was the psalmist that said, only in His presence will you find fullness of joy. It's nowhere else. You can't find it at the bank. You can't find it at the love nest. You can't find it in the lawyer's office. You can't find it in the halls of education. The fullness of joy only comes when you draw near to the Lord. And Ephesians 2:13 puts it this way. And now in Christ Jesus, ye sometimes who were far off are made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am near the Lord. I am under the shadow of His covering. I am now held close to Him. I am in the hollow of His hand. I am protected from everything that the devil wants to do because I am near the Lord by the blood of Jesus. And finally in closing, I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are going to live victoriously, if you are going to have a life worth living, if you are going to subscribe to the abundant life that Christ promised in John 10:10, you must overcome this world. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible declares we cannot overcome this world any other way but by the blood of the Lamb. And so you will find me every day pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm saved by Your blood. I'm redeemed by Your blood. I'm protected by Your blood. I'm made near by Your blood. I am who I am by the blood of Jesus Christ. Zechariah recorded this way. In that day, talking about our day. You understand that every good prophecy that was written in the Old Testament was written for Living Way Church in the 21st century. It was all about our day. In that day, Zechariah said, there shall be a fountain open in the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we are now Jerusalem through the blood of Christ. The inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness, there is a fountain where I can now plunge. I can plunge in that fountain that is open in the house of David, and though my sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. As the old psalmist said, I see a crimson stream of blood. On Calvary's hill of sorrow, where sin's demands were paid, and rays of hope for tomorrow across our path were laid. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. Today no condemnation abides to turn away my soul from His salvation. He is in my heart to stay. All because of the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, losing all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath that flood to lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. And there I have, vile as he, washed all my sins away. I stand before you holy and righteous, gloriously redeemed, not by my testimony, but by the testimony of my Redeemer, Jesus Christ. For Christ is at the right hand of the Father. And when my name comes up, He says this to the Father, I have washed him in my blood. And when He says that, my Father says, well done, well done, well done. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the sad truth is that millions are perishing because they do not understand that life is in the blood, and there is no remission of sin except the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And they must step out of their sin and call on the name that is above every name and say, Jesus, Jesus, take the hyssop of your grace and wash me with your blood, that I will not be judged for my sin and my iniquity. I will not even be judged for my failings and my faults, but I will be judged according to the blood of Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason why I took great exception 50 years ago when I began to hear preachers preaching that homosexuals couldn't be saved. It wasn't because I was defending the homosexual, I was defending the blood. They were saying that the blood is inferior. There's just some things the blood can't do. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, there's nothing the blood can't do. If you're an adulterer, the blood can wash you white as snow. If you're a homosexual, the blood will save you. If you're a murderer, the blood will save you. The blood of Jesus Christ is altogether almighty, and I am saved by the perpetual power of the blood. Yes, there is power in the blood of Jesus, and that's the reason why I revere my repentance. The blood was applied. That's the reason why I revere my baptism. The blood was applied. That's the reason why I revere my communion experience that we take in this church regularly. The blood is applied. And that's the reason why I get up every morning and say, I'm pleading the blood. I'm pleading the blood. I'm pleading the blood. I am who I am by the blood of Jesus, and there is no other healing for sin except the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you stand on your feet right now and give thanks to God that you understand the efficacy and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Let's worship God all over this house.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the
The difference between the righteous and the self-righteous. The self-righteous are satisfied with their performance. The righteous are satisfied with His performance. I can tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm not satisfied with my performance, but I'm totally satisfied with His performance. That every day His mercy is fresh. Every day the blood can be reapplied. Every day I can plead the blood of Jesus Christ. He not only saves me, He keeps me by His blood every day. If you're in this building right now and you realize that there is something that is hanging on you like a barnacle on a ship, they have to bring those ships to harbor.